Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You guys both brought up this contract for Monty Williams, the fired coach of the Pistons. What is it, 5 years and $65 million left on the deal?
After he got a $20 million buyout from Phoenix. So he got 20 in one check, and now they're going to pay him $65 million more for
Paul,
failure.
If I gave you $85 million, where are you going?
Aruba.
Aruba?
Aruba. I'm buying a place in Aruba, and I'll be on the beach every day. I would golf in the morning. Or actually, I would play golf in the mornings, you know, three or four times a week, and I would be on the beach until sunset every day. I love
no stress.
I laugh at people that tell me, "Oh, you'd get bored doing that." No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. Watch. If I ever hit the lottery, if I ever hit the Powerball, if I ever make whatever, watch how quickly I'm there.
Well, golf would consume a lot of it, so that your day could be built around golf. Right,
I'm just saying, I would probably only play nine holes down there because I wouldn't want to waste.
No, I wake up, I have a big, huge breakfast, nice walk on the beach, and then play golf till two. It's like,
and then you have cocktail hour,
you take a nap,
and then take a nap.
I would be basically that guy, yeah, who's there on the beach relaxing, and then at night I would go find a nice dinner somewhere, you know, and I'd be in bed early every night.
Yeah, that way you get good sleep. You don't have any worries. Yep.
I'd probably play 18, but I would try and get out at the crack of dawn when I play golf.
You think Monty Williams has that thought process? Or
you know, it's one of a lot of these.
First
guys,
of all, would he ever get another job now?
What are they doing? Their best thinking of the whole organization after all these interviews, like who's going to rebuild our franchise, nets them this guy, and they give up after 1 year?
Nobody ever thought they were going to be a good team. Now, they only had 14 wins, I think, all year.
Yeah, they were intentionally
ridiculous.
Bad.
They were bad for, you know, for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is to get better players in here. But how do you bail on him so quickly? And what did he? What were your expectations? I would like to ask whoever's in charge of making this decision. What were your expectations of him that you thought you're going to give him $65 million?
Well, like Paul said, who's the GM around here? How's he not fired? How's he not fired before the coach?
Here's the thing. The GM... See, this is what's weird. The GM that actually hired him was fired the next day, if that makes sense.
Oh,
they hired Monty.
Now I remember that.
Monty Williams on June 1st last year.
Okay.
This GM that then the next day he wasn't fired. He stepped down the next day. So he basically helped. Here's my thing. If you're the owner, why is the person that you know is going to be gone conducting your search for a new coach?
Right.
And, you know, when you bring in a new guy, it's Trajan Langdon. You remember him? He was a player.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
He's now the guy, the president of basketball operations. You know, when he comes in, he's going to want to bring in his own coach.
Yeah, but you just spent that much money?
Where would you go?
First of all, I said this right at the time. What justified that kind of money? And don't just tell me, well, because the market is the market. You didn't have to give him $65 million.
I mean, they identified him as a great coach.
But what made you think, based on what?
Good question. I guess going to the finals in Phoenix? That doesn't happen often. Okay. Where would you go if I gave you $65 million, Bob? Join Ron in Fort Myers?
Well, I might pay him a visit, yes. But I'd go everywhere. Whatever my wife would want to go to, would go. That's it. And I would make sure there was golf involved in this somehow, some way.
I'd go to Lake Tahoe. And then I would have a place on what's the course out near L.A. The one that I always
Riviera?
Play shooters. No,
Pebble
Cypress. Beach.
Yeah.
Pebble Beach. I would have a condo right there and just go back and forth. Yeah. From
when money's not an issue,
nature.
You can pick and choose whatever
exactly.
You want.
Yes.
What I might do is I might have a condo or something on Kiawah Island so I could play the ocean course mm-hmm. whenever I want.
You would get tired of that. That wind is just not ending. It just.
I would play it, but I would obviously my main residence would be in Aruba. And actually, I wouldn't because I would never leave. I wouldn't want to leave Aruba. I'd just be there.
You ever been there, Bob?
Aruba?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, many times.
I love it.
I play golf. Play golf there.
Did you play golf there, Paul?
Yeah.
Tierra del Sol was the name of the course.
Yeah, I played at the Divi, and the thing about it is the wind.
Oh.
Is interesting.
It just.
But it's fun.
It is fun, but the wind, if it's at you. So hard to make a good swing.
But I'll tell you what, the fact that there's that breeze on the island is what makes it perfect.
Yeah.
Because even like when you get into the throes of summer, when it's like 96, 97 degrees, there's enough of a breeze that it's not terrible. And it's like.
And you always have water to jump into somewhere.
What's funny is I look at my phone every day. I have Aruba's weather up on my phone.
So he's really into Aruba.
It's like every day, low 84, high 89, sunny. And and the one year I went in the quote-unquote rainy season, it rained about 10 minutes, three of the mornings I was there.
But as quickly as it comes, it goes.
It just comes through, and it's not even like a rain like we see. It's one of those rains that almost is like a mist, you know what I mean, for like 10 minutes. And then it's sunny and beautiful the rest of the day.
It's 88 degrees there right now.
Exactly.
I just looked. Mm-hmm. Colin, I passed in the hallway. He said, now that Willie Mays has passed, who's the greatest living ball player? I'll give you some names. Is it automatically Barry Bonds? Roger Clemens, maybe? Ricky Henderson? A-Rod? Mike Schmidt? Is this an easy call or a tough one, Paul? Albert Pujols, Ricky Henderson, A-Rod, Randy Johnson, Clemens, Bonds.
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 But,
I'd say Bonds, too, easily.
Bonds with a caveat. What about Ohtani?
Well, he's living.
Ohtani? You're right. What about Mike Trout?
I'm not going to put Mike Trout in that category.
I think Bonds is great, but my thing with Ohtani is we talk about it all the time, Joe. His pitching.
No, I've said, and I think he's the greatest baseball player in history.
If you're going to say the greatest living ball player that's not active, Bonds.
Yeah.
I thought that was the question. Not active? Didn't he say not?
I mean, Paul put a twist on it here that these rankings I'm looking at have Trout in him.
Yeah.
And have Ohtani in him.
Not yeah, but what did Colin ask you, though? It was about...
I mean, he just said the greatest living ball player, okay. So they're living.
All right, I thought he said...
But yeah, I think it was implied
right.
An older guy, but not necessarily.
Well, I will then change and go to Ohtani, too. I think before it's all done, he's going to be the guy that everybody looks to and says he did more than Babe Ruth did, even though Babe Ruth did it at a time when absolutely no one even thought of it, and he did it. But yeah, Ohtani is a pitcher. If he gets back on the mound next year and he does what he's been doing and hitting, I don't know how you can not say him.
That's the thing. I mean, even the great Willie Mays, when it comes to comparing him to Ohtani, I have to ask, how did he do on the mound? The guy plays two different sports, at least he did before he got hurt, pitcher and baseball.
Right.
Which and he was great at both. I define this, I don't know, some people look more at career resume like, oh, this guy can't possibly be the greatest yet. I look at my definition whenever these conversations come up is if I plucked so-and-so out of his prime, against Tom Brady against Joe Montana against whoever, Gale Sayers against Barry Sanders against Eric Dickerson against Peyton against Jim Brown, if I plucked him out of his prime, how great was he?
Right.
That's what I care about. That's why I think Dave Parker's one of the greatest players of all time. Because if I took him out of 1978, that's exactly what he was. So when it comes to this conversation, greatest living ball player, let's just take guys who are retired. It's got to be Barry Bonds.
That's Bonds.
And for me, the next two, believe it or not, are Ricky Henderson and probably Some people would say Clemens or Randy Johnson. I'd say Pedro. If you took Pedro at the height of his powers, he was literally unhittable. And I don't think he was cheating either.
No, he was. People forget how good he was, how dominant he was in every big game situation.
In a four-year stretch, Pedro had ERAs of 2.07, 1.9, and 1.74. You couldn't hit him.
Yeah.
But Barry Bonds has to be the answer to that question.
It's Barry Bonds
with Ohtani
for sure. What about Mariano Rivera?
It's not a bad choice.
What about Ken Griffey Jr.?
What about Ken Griffey Jr.? If you argue clean versus steroids.
Well, I mean, clean that we know. Anybody that played in that era is suspect, which is why I think it's such a farce and a fraud that the voters would, you know, basically hold it against some guys and hold it and don't hold it against others.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
I mean, no offense to Cal Ripken, but I'm supposed to believe he all of a sudden blew up like he did and his body all of a sudden changed like it did in the later part of his career. And all of a sudden he was able to play 2,000, 9,000, you know, 2,900 or whatever games or whatever he played. I mean, I'm not saying that he did or he didn't, but I know this. Anybody that played in that era was very suspect to me no matter what, which is why the entire era should be treated as the steroid era, and those guys that were the best of the best in the steroid era should be in the Hall of Fame.
I agree with that 100%. I've been saying that from the beginning. You can cast a shadow of doubt on a lot of people. There are a lot of people who have already been accused of who we don't really know. So I base it on what I see. If he's allowed to play, if anyone's allowed to play, they're allowed.
I mean, yeah, that whole discussion is just, to me, is just
right.
Ridiculous. But, you know, all of baseball history, is a lot of it is the story of cheating to win.
You go
back to the era of Willie Mays, the guys used to use greenies, amphetamines, greenies they called them, to be ready to play every day.
Right.
You don't think that helped them to use greenies? You don't think it helped people to use spitballs? You don't think it helped people when
you're trying to gain an edge, but you still have to do the thing out there, regardless of what you're. So,
I don't care. You want to put an asterisk on Barry Bonds, go ahead. But the idea that I could build a better team, or at least as good of a team outside the Hall of Fame as in it, that could beat your best team inside the Hall of Fame, we're getting to that point, is just laughable and renders the Baseball Hall of Fame a complete joke.
Was Brady Anderson. Do you remember him?
Yeah, 50 home runs.
He hits 50 home runs.
And in his previous year, he had like 16.
18, yeah, he had 18, and then he had 18, and pretty much the rest of his career, 17, 16, 15.
He was Nate McClouth until he turned into Mickey Mantle. But you know what? It happened just like other eras in baseball history. The one that gets the baseball writers here is that it affected these hallowed numbers that mean so much to them. The other stuff didn't. This one, oh my God, you know, Babe Ruth numbers are now going to be affected. So let's keep Barry Bonds out of the Hall of Fame. What an absolute farce that is. And in reading about Willie Mays today, do you know that nobody in baseball history, at least at the time of this story, had been unanimously elected to the Hall of Fame? There was like 25 guys who didn't elect Willie Mays to the Hall of Fame.
You should lose your privileges at that point.
Or Joe DiMaggio, for that matter. Or Mickey Mantle. Like, what are these idiots? What are they doing?
I don't understand.
I remember Ricky Henderson.
They should be made to explain their rationale.
Yeah, when Ricky Henderson was up, he only got like 97% of the vote. It's like, what are the other 3% people doing?
They should be fired. It should have ended all those years ago because they decided we're going to show you nobody's ever going to get in unanimously with us baseball writers. That vote should have been stripped from them decades ago.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I've said that many times.
There are slam dunks out there. You don't need to even think twice. Just get the vote. And if you're doing it for whatever reason you're doing it, well, because you don't believe anyone should be first ballot, then you should be excused from doing that process altogether.
Sandy Koufax is still alive, isn't he? Is he? Bob?
I think
Paul?
So. I don't
know. Is he?
Yeah, he is.
Then he's got to be on that list. If we're taking guys out of their primes, the greatest who ever lived, who would you rather have on the mound than Sandy Koufax?
God bless him. He's 88 years old.
So right now, Bob, if you put together your best team We had a game to save the planet. You put together your best team from inside the Hall of Fame, and I'm sure Willie Mays would be on it. I could compete with you. I'd have Roger Clemens as my starting pitcher.
You're talking about those who have been
excluded because of cheating, allegedly. Well, clearly in a couple of cases they did. Roger Clemens would be my starting pitcher, okay? Barry Bonds would be on my team. A-Rod would be on my team.
Would you put
Mark McGuire would be on my team.
Mark McGuire should be, yeah.
Sammy Sosa would be in my outfield.
How about your outfit of Sosa, Bonds, and pick another?
Yeah, really.
Is David Ortiz being kept out?
No,
were there suspicions about him? Oh, he got in?
He got in, which is in, and then, you know, the
that's
the,
a shifting of the philosophy.
Exactly. The guardians of the game, so to speak, including a few in this town, then, you know, had to go write columns explaining why David Ortiz was different than Bonds and Clemens and you know, the rest of that group.
Ridiculous.
Even though, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm going to look this up, if I'm not, because, you know, I don't want Najee Harris's agent to call me out here. I'm looking this up, but wasn't Ortiz one of the guys that actually tested positive in some way?
There was a lot of scrutiny about him. There's no question. I don't know if he actually tested that way. I think he did, though. The more I think about that, I think you're right. I think there was some.
There we go. Hang on, let me just see.
I love this part of the show.
You guys talk. Let me look at it. I just want to make sure I'm right.
I know. You might have Najee's agent on the line.
Ortiz, you see, tested.
Go to the bathroom and don't come back.
Exactly. Ortiz, you see, tested positive for a banned substance during the anonymous survey test.
That's good enough for me. Keep him out.
Okay. But he was in. See, it was different. That's different, according to people. And there was columns that were written explaining why it was different, which just goes to show you. Here's what I'm going to tell you. The whole steroid thing is nonsense, okay? And here's what it is. 100% to keep Barry Bonds out of the Hall of Fame.
Because they didn't like him.
If Bonds was never, you know, suspected of steroids, if he wasn't in that crowd, Clemens would be in, A-Rod would be in, these other guys would be. They're all collateral damage. Because these baseball writers are so petty and silly that they wanted to do everything in their power to keep Bonds out.
I agree.
And so, to me, they're willing to sacrifice Clemens. They're willing to sacrifice A-Rod. They're willing to take these ridiculous stances of, oh, well, you know, there's a morals clause in the voting. And get out of here.
A morals clause, by the way, that was instituted by a segregationist.
Exactly.
In one of baseball's great ironies. We'll follow what that guy says.
Exactly. People talk about Ty Cobb. People talk about, you know, Kennesaw Mountain Landis.
That guy.
You know, how many bad people that are you know, give me a break with that. But again, it is 100% designed to keeping Bonds out. That's all it is.
One of the great lines.
Who's another one? Was Andy Pettit? Not that he would be.
I don't remember.
But he was. Remember. But he handled it differently.
He did get suspended.
And he admitted and he did all the things.
Is he in?
No, I don't think so. I'm just saying you want to formulate your pitching staff, he would have to be on it, even though I don't know if he's in.
No, he's not in.
He's not in. Here's my question. Without the steroids, would he still be in? Would I don't know that he would have been in.
I don't know. I mean, I'd use him on my staff, though, of teams of my team that could beat the guys in there.
He was one that basically came up with the whole, he didn't know what he was taking or it was a mistake. He didn't, you know.
Right.
The thing that really gets me is one of the guys, in addition to the entire media, that kept a blind eye to the home run race between Sosa and McGuire is Bud Selig. And he's in the Hall of Fame.
Right. Well, that's
in the Hall of
one.
Fame. But those two,
right,
who basically rejuvenated baseball or saved it in the 90s, aren't.
And he knew it. And he used
it. He's in.
He used it for the betterment of the game, to bring in more money, to sell the game.
Harold Baines is in.
I know.
And Barry Bonds isn't.
Wait. And not just that, Joe. All of the baseball writers who are taking this pious stance about the steroids and about, you know, They all celebrated the home run chase.
Right.
Because it was saving their game. None of them, but, you know, even though we could all see that Mark McGwire, even though that we could all see that Mark McGwire, you know, was looking like, you know, Popeye with his forearms popping out, we all knew what was going on, but they didn't want to say a word back then because it was saving baseball after the strike and everything. So, I mean, that's why I always say, you miss me with all of this nonsense. Well, you know, there is a clause that says that there's a morality clause. Please.
Bob, you've known a lot of sports writers. Are they generally, and I was one of them, and still am, the types of people who should be invoking a morality clause on anybody?
No. Jose I say that generally because everybody has something to deal with.
I say it lovingly, yes. Jose Canseco, who's, you know, the guy who busted this whole story wide open way back when, he was the whistleblower. And the old saying, if you want to find out what the robbers are doing, talk to a thief, right? He estimated that 85% of all players were doing steroids at that time. And I believe him because I believe the thief about the robbers.
And it wasn't, here's the thing, it wasn't just the guys hitting home runs.
It was the guys pitching to
him. It was the middle infielders. It was the guys pitching. It was the relievers. It was everybody was doing it. So as I always say, you treat it as the steroid era, enabled by the people that run baseball, enabled by the people who covered baseball, right? Then you take the best of the best of that year, that era, and they're your Hall of Famers.
One of the great lines was Bill Pennington of the New York Times, who talked about this integrity clause and said, the Baseball Hall of Fame is basically a museum that already includes multiple virulent racists, drunks, cheats, brawlers, drug users, and at least one acknowledged sex addict. But it won't let in these guys. These guys who use steroids.
Yeah.
Who used cream to make their muscles bigger.
Yeah.
What a farce, Bob. It's the Hall of Farce, not the Hall of Fame.
I would just say you're allowed to play. The league is responsible for those who are on the field. If they're allowed to play, then what they do with their time on the field should be judged objectively. They're allowed to play. The people, like you said, Bud Selig, as soon as I heard he was in the Hall of Fame, it just made my stomach turn because he was the person who enabled a lot of this because he knew he had to have known. And yet he wanted money flowing into the game, and the only way to do that is to have your product get better, and those players made it better. So,
all right, coming up, let's talk a little about the Pirate game last night. What was the main storyline there? And Matt Fensel of the Post-Gazette has a very interesting name that the Penguins could look at this offseason, and his name isn't Jake Guentzel. I might
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Dad. Perfect song to evoke. I don't know, Bob. You like the word ethereal? Ethereal images of great athletes like Willie Mays.
Yeah,
Willie Mays is on the shortest of short lists of legends. You agree?
Absolutely. I mean, we use the word a lot, but really it applies to just a very small few.
Exactly. I agree with that. It's an overused word, kind of like superstar. You know what I mean?
Yeah, even
there
great.
Ain't many.
We use the word great on routine, you know, great. It's a nice play. It's not a, you know, great is reserved for like the over-the-shoulder basket catch. That's why people talk. He made better catches than that.
Yeah.
But because it was in that situation at that time, it takes on a whole new level.
He's on the short list, Paul. Muhammad Ali, Babe Ruth, right. Jim Thorpe, Michael Jordan. He's Jesse Owens, Joe DiMaggio.
There he is.
He's on the short list. Well, there's Michael McHenry talking about.
Well, I mean, it's the pregame show. Obviously, it was an afternoon Pirates game, and they're talking about Willie Mays. That goes a long way.
Yeah. And I'm sure McCutchen was great on that. I read his quotes today when he was talking to reporters last night. I guess Willie Mays just called him Pittsburgh. And he said he would. One of the reasons he, you know, was looking forward to going out to San Francisco when he did was because he could talk to Willie Mays. Yeah, let's hear McCutchen. You have that. How about City Limits piping in here, Paul?
Yes.
We have some news coming up about City Limits that we can't quite reveal yet, but we're very, very pleased and proud.
It's very good news.
Very good news. Let's hear McCutchen on Mays.
Before there was, you know, Bonds and Griffey and all these guys and Stargell, you know, it was Willie Mays, you know. Willie Mays was... He was a guy who, for Ricky Henderson, you know, for all these great center fielders even, there was Willie Mays. So, you know, he was you know, a pioneer for the game. You know, he was a guy who I was, you know, very fortunate to be on the Giants. And honestly, that was kind of one of the things that had me pretty excited going to the Giants. Was to be able to know I was going to be around people like Willie McCovey and Willie Mays and Barry Bonds and those guys. So, yeah, it's his legacy is going to live on. And, you know, anyone who's ever come in contact with Mays for even a day, they're going to have a story. You know, they're going to have something. And, yeah, you know, my nickname was Pittsburgh. That was my nickname to him. You know, he'd always call me Pittsburgh. So, yeah, paid attention to a lot of the games that we played in, talked to him every time I got the chance. I'm pretty sure every time. He probably got tired of me. But, yeah, anytime I had an opportunity to be around him, I was going to be around him.
Great stuff there from McCutchen.
That right? Says it all right there. Just the fact that he always made himself available to talk to younger guys.
Right.
You know? And I think those younger guys sought out the opportunity to be around him. And it was a two-way street. Not a lot of people do that.
Well, I think that's the thing that, like I said, about Mays, that really reading all these tributes really stood out. It's just how much of a really good person, like a mentor to so many of these young guys who maybe never even saw him play. They know his legend.
You know what else I like about guys like McCutchen? And I think we should see more of this with some of the younger guys in the game. They appreciate the history of it. They understand the people who provided pathways for them. And I see not so much of that with younger players today. You know, they don't want to know the history. They don't really care about the history. They should. If you're involved in a franchise, you play in a city, you should try to reach out. If someone's there who was in that level of elite.
Yes.
And you should know about it. You should want to know about it.
It feels like Mays is almost an exception to that. Like, you read these unbelievable stories in all sports. Like, oh, have you ever heard of this player? Name a famous player from a sport. And younger guys will be like, no, I never heard of him. But you just heard the general, Jeff Patton from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranbury. And he's got guests all the time doing autograph shows and things like that. Active and former baseball players. And a common question for them, he said, is if you could have an autograph of one athlete, any sport. And he says that baseball players usually pick a different sport, like they'll pick an NBA player. But the most common answer, if you could have an autograph of any athlete ever, is Willie Mays among those people.
That's
even the younger guys.
Coming from him, that says as much as you can say, because he has access to all of that and he talks to all of these people.
You think about it, really. I mean, in the last week and a half, we've lost Bill Walton, Jerry West, and Willie Mays.
Incredible. Really. I mean, truly.
Think about the stories surrounding all three of those guys.
I mean, you could make this argument. I know there's many other people included in the conversation. Bill Walton, possibly greatest and most accomplished college basketball player of ever. Jerry West, as Paul eloquently wrote, greatest basketball man. Not necessarily greatest player, although he was very great. Greatest overall basketball man who ever lived between playing and forming teams. And then Willie Mays, certainly in the conversation of greatest baseball player who ever lived. Think about that.
No, and it all happened within a span of a month.
Yeah.
I think a month, 2 weeks,
whatever,
right?
It was, yeah.
Like Bill Walton died, 2 weeks ago, maybe? And then West died last week.
Yeah, it's sad. You know, those guys are such a big part of every sport, and here they are.
I called up, did I tell you the story earlier? Elroy Face?
Yes.
No, I can't. I called him up, 96 years old. Last night at 10 o'clock, I called him. He's still around Pittsburgh. I'm like, I'm sorry I bothered you so late. Willie Mays passed. Do you have a quick story? Right away, he gives me the story about Mays hitting the homer off him and him saying to his catcher, what happened there? And the catcher, whose name now escapes me, said, "Nah, he hadn't had a hit tonight, so I told him what was coming." And I said to Face, I said, he did that just because he was Willie Mays? And he's like, yeah, probably. Just because he was Willie Mays, he decided to give him the pitch, which is great, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, really. Mays, I mean, I saw a clip yesterday of Mays climbing a fence and catching a ball that I thought was actually greater than the, you know, basket catch over the head.
Yeah.
But it probably was. It was better.
That being said, between, you know, in the Toronto series this year, and last night, and there have been some guys that have made incredible plays against the Pirates in the last three or four
weeks.
Just incredible. Like the three or four in the Toronto series, every one of them was amazing. Last night, the catch that kid made in center field was...
And he had to be taken out of the game because he was... I don't know what happened
to him. Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I'm just saying, that was a ball he had... I thought there's no way he's getting there. And... He got there.
Meantime, before we get to the quiz show, I've been teasing this, so I want to get to it quickly here. Matt Venzel sort of rejects some of these what he thinks are pie-in-the-sky trade targets for the Penguins, but one who isn't is Patrick Laine. Columbus wants to get rid of him, apparently wants to get rid of that contract. I think it's over $8 million a season, I believe, and they say they'll put a sweetener in there. He's talking about a Riley Smith for Patrick Laine deal. Laine's numbers have declined over the years. One time 44 goal scorer, 26 2 years ago in Columbus, 22 goals. And then last year, he only played in 18 games. He took what I think they term kind of a mental health break, but he had 6 goals in those 18 games. He's still, how old is he, Bob? He's still only 26.
Is that all he is?
He just turned 26. He's 6'5", 205, right winger, and he scores goals. Thoughts, gentlemen?
He scored goals. Yeah. I don't know that he's doing it all that much. And that contract would, when they say sweetener, are you talking about they're going to pick up a large portion of the contract?
I think
because
Venzel
you can't afford to bring in another one of those kind of guys. He makes a lot of money based on what he did in Winnipeg.
But you're getting rid of a large portion with Riley Smith, at least. What does he make? What does Riley Smith make? And maybe they would take on another contract. As part of that, I don't know.
Well, the fact, you know what just turned me is that you said, are you sure he's 26? He seems like he's been around forever.
He has, but he came into the league, I think, when he was 18.
Okay. 26 gives me reason to think that's not a bad deal, but he's been injured. He hasn't been as good as he once was. I think he's a one-way player. You know, I don't know. I'd have my reservations. If it meant, you know, moving Riley Smith, because I just don't think it fits here with him.
What if they took Raquel? What if they took Raquel?
Well, then you save a lot more money.
What if they took Ryan Graves?
One of the problems when they signed Malkin, when you entrusted Malkin to be your second line center for the next 4 years when they signed him, you have essentially made it impossible for any young center in this organization to move up and immediately take one of those jobs.
Paul,
right?
Yeah, you're right about that.
They got guys.
He's a sniper, though, Bob. He's not talking about him.
I'm talking about other guys. Jaegers is a guy who should maybe be playing here now. You want young blood? Where's he going to play? A fourth line center? He's not that.
This guy still has 140 goals in 5 years. In Winnipeg.
Well, 26 makes me, because he had a great shot. 26 makes me think maybe. If he were 30, I'd say no.
Paul?
He's got 2 years left on his deal. I get the whole, you know, they're going to offer a sweetener. I think I'm fatigued a little bit by these players that other teams are paying to get rid of. Okay? I'm not going to lie. Obviously, he would be a guy, if he could find his form again and get back to what he, you know, has been in his career. If they're able to make one of these deals where they dump all of their, you know, bad contracts for him, which I don't think it will, because it sounds like Columbus is trying to get rid of this guy and his contract. I don't know. I would have to see what the deal looks like.
Young enough where this is a little different than some of the others.
Right.
And plus, he gives you something you need, I think, which is a pure sniper.
Well,
I'd be willing to take the chance. But I understand, of course, the
reservations. But I also think that the general thing about the Penguins is they're in it to try to win. If that's your case, then you go for a proven guy.
Yeah.
You have to. If you were not in this situation where you had all these guys tied up to long-term contracts and they're older and you're trying to win now, then you probably wouldn't do it. But now, maybe you do.
50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Fan and the Pirates want to visit your teams in action for our youth baseball softball showcase. Parents, coaches, email us at usports@937thefan.com to register your 12 and under team. And The Fan may make a stop to your field. Details at 937thefan.com, Century 21 Fairways Real Estate. I mentioned the 50-minute mark on The Fan. Didn't I just do that, City Limits? I'm losing my mind. How are you today? I have barely heard from you all day.
I'm great, yes. It's always...
Now you're not even paying attention to yourself.
Right. Not only them, but myself, I've lost all attention span toward.
I like your University of Buffalo hat you have there.
Thank you. It's a bucket hat.
I can tell, yes.
I appreciate that compliment.
Big bucket.
Do you have good questions for the quiz show?
Oh, yes.
We'll be doing that next. Me against Paul, Paul against Bob, Paul against me, Paul against Bob, Bob against Paul, Bob against me, and me against Bob. In the quiz show coming up next. You ready for that?
Yes.